Welcome to Historical Jesus. I'm Mark Vinette. We've been told that Christianity began around 33 AD when the disciples of the rural preacher Jesus of Nazareth came to believe he had risen from the dead. But is that tale a myth? The Jesus myth theory includes the view that the story of Jesus is largely mythological and has little basis in historical fact. It is a fringe theory supported by a small group of dedicated, active, and vocal scholars and mythicists who argue that in the Gospels, a fictitious historical narrative was imposed on the mythical cosmic savior figure created by Paul. Myth proponents claim that there is significance in the lack of surviving historic records about Jesus of Nazareth from any non-Jewish author until the 2nd century, adding that Jesus left no writings or other archaeological evidence. This understanding deviates from the mainstream historical view, and most historians reject the theory that Jesus never existed. Mainstream biblical scholars point out that much of the writings of antiquity have been lost, and that there was little written about any Jew or Christian in this period, and that there is no known archaeological or textual evidence for the existence of most people in the ancient world. Born in the 2nd century is a podcast hosted by Chris Palmero, a secular, self-proclaimed counter-evangelist and former Catholic. Through a close reading of the New Testament and books left out of the Bible, he argues that Christianity began almost 100 years after the imagined death of Christ. Let's listen to his provocative, alternative view of the historical Jesus.
When it comes to the origins of Christianity, we assume nothing, but we ask why. We ask why Christianity doesn't emerge into the light of history until the writings of Justin Martyr in 156 AD. We ask why pagan writers don't mention Christians until Lucian mentions them in his books Alexander the Quack Prophet and The Passing of Peregrinus, and both of those were written in the 160s. They depict the Christians as nothing more than one curious sect among many, frantically competing for their converts in the roadsteads and port towns of Asia Minor, just like any other sect. We ask why the first pagan refutation of Christianity, The True Doctrine by Celsus, wasn't even written until 178 AD, if then. We ask why the Christian writers of the 2nd century are still hammering out very basic points of doctrine and belief, still struggling to differentiate themselves from Old Order Judaism as if the religion were still then in its infancy. And lastly, we ask why archaeological evidence for Christianity is not found at all, whether in decorated tombs or epitaphs, until the tail end of the 2nd century. For we stand at the end of a road through a dark field, illuminated here and there by the lightings of vague watchtowers to suggest the path we should take. And these are the writings of those who came before us. For 200 years they've sought to tame this wilderness. A voice crying in the desert, "Prepare the paths of the Lord, make his way straight." And we find ourselves at the end of this path, where the treasure that's been hid up for ages has long been concealed, that the Christian faith originated nearly 100 years later than previously supposed. And we give our statement of faith, as it were, in the words of Paul. "For I deliver to you what I received from the beginning, that the scriptures of the Jewish Bible were written after the Babylonian exile and completed in the Hasmonean period. Its narratives are mythical, ideational, and non-historical. That these scriptures were the source material for the theosophic speculations which would become the foundation of Christianity. That the Christian religion developed in the 2nd century from discordant backgrounds, from the Jewish apocalyptic and wisdom literature, from the Philonic speculation, from the ecstatic salvation cults and mystery religions, from the Barbello-Gnosticism of the Samaritans, after the empire had replaced the national cults of the militant period of the city-state. That Christianity arose separately in multiple centers among charismatic sects who didn't understand that their sister sects didn't come from a common source and who engaged in fistfights, kidnappings, malicious prosecution, and running street battles with them and with the adherents of the Old Order Judaism. that the impetus for the creation of Christianity was the destruction of the Jerusalem temple in 70 AD, the end of the cultic apparatus of mainstream Judaism, and the beginning of the era of the rabbis. That Jesus of Nazareth was not a historical figure, but the composite merger of a Gnostic savior deity and the super-celestial messiah of the Samaritan Gnostic cults, who was eventually imagined in a retrospective legend to have lived as a man on earth. That the religion of Paul developed independently in Western Turkey from Syrian Gnosticism, with Paul himself being a semi-mythical figure whose writings are late and composite. That the canonical Gospels are late and fictional, and for the most part based on an early version of the Gospel of Mark, which was itself written at the height of the Kitos Rebellion in 117 AD. That the great Jewish-Roman War of the 130s resulted in an irreparable breach between Judaism and Christianity, creating the perception by Christians and Jews that they were now members of two separate religions. And lastly, that the Catholic Church forcibly annexed its rivals, with the charismatic movement of Montanus being the last enemy to be destroyed. Led now by monarchical bishops and councils of elders, the Church began to base its history on the imagined traditions of the apostles and specific, limited, authoritative writings. Our survey ends with the close of the secular games held in Rome in the summer of 204 AD. A century prior to this, Christianity had been nothing more than an echo of an idea at the very fringes of Judaism, and it closes the period poised to capture and dominate the religious and intellectual life of the next 1,000 years and more. It is in this intervening period, the second century, that we must look for its origins. Now, about 1,000 years ago, explaining the origins of Christianity was quite simple. All you had to know was that Jesus rose from the dead, appeared to his disciples, and that they then spread a religion based on his resurrection. But in modern times, scholars are forced to doubt the historicity of those post-resurrection appearances, not to mention the historicity of the resurrection itself. Now, they can talk extensively about the life of Jesus by following the narratives of the Gospels. They can talk about his crucifixion and his death. But when they reach the moment wherein they have to triangulate the very first instance of belief in the resurrected Jesus, they can't do it. After they get done discussing the death of Jesus, but before they discuss the first actual Christian churches, their narratives suddenly fill up with perhapses and no doubts and surelies. Because when we no longer believe in the mythical narrative, we find that we've lost a clear through line from the life of Jesus to the day one origins of Christianity. If we want to claim that someone like Peter had a vision of the resurrected Jesus and that that was the origin of Christianity, then we fall into a whole host of new problems. For example, doesn't that conflict with the testimony of Acts of the Apostles? And so, if we decide to say that Christianity originated from a mass vision or mass hallucination, then we need to get our scissors ready and cut out the parts of the New Testament that explicitly conflict with that. Also, if the origins of Christianity lie in a subjective vision, then how did those first visionaries convince thousands of people to abandon their belief systems and embrace what even they call the scandal of the cross? But you'll find when you're reading any historical account of the origins of Christianity, and these days it's fashionable for people to want to read so-called historical accounts of early Christianity that haven't been tainted by religion, but the fact is that they're all tainted by religion because they all ultimately come from religious writings and religious sources. When you read a historical account of the origins of Christianity, even one that's purportedly secular, always watch out for the moment when the author has to explain the gap of time between the death of Jesus and the appearance of the very first Christian churches. And you'll find that as these historians kind of squirm their way through it, like try as they might, they can't manage to explain the transition from the death and resurrection visions of Jesus to the beginnings of Christianity in a reasonable and logical way once they've lost that through line of the mythical narrative.
I'm Mark Vinette. Thank you for sharing your time with me. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.